Glad you're here. Glad you're joining us live and via the web all over the Fruited Plain. I just got great news. Alan Owens just got saved at Friday at 9:08. He must have known where he was when he trusted the Lord. So praise the Lord for that. And there isn't anything like having eternal life. I praise God for it. I want to talk to you about kind of a unique subject. You know, we're talking about the 4th of July, Independence Day. And it's amazing how we want to be independent. I mean, think about all of it. Independently wealthy. We want to be independent of our parents and on and on. I mean, that's the kind of the thing we want to break loose. And it starts when we're children, which is kind of unique. And that is we teach our kids to become independent. And that's really not what God wants at all. God wants us to be dependent. And I think that, you know, we've gotten into this society where everything's independent. Independent this, independent that. And I thought, well, you know, I want you to see that God, go to Philemon, and I want to just grab a couple verses. One of the things that is so unique about the grace of God, and I've thought about this as I've read a lot of the posts that we've had on David Z's website. Hey, Minnesota's in the house. They just text us. Glad you're there. Roxy and Gina and Margie and all those guys. I'm glad you're there. Anyway, go to Philemon. And I want you to see in Philemon the attitude of Christ towards you. Go to verse 18. This is like the Lord speaking. If he had wronged thee, talking about me or you, you can say myself, or owed thee aught, put it on my account. You know what that is? That's dependent. I, Paul, and it could just as easily say, I, Christ, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say that thou owest unto me, even thy own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, and refresh my bowels, having confidence in thy obedience. I've written on thee. Now watch this, talking about God, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Now that's very important. You see, God, in his plan, the hardest thing for man to do is let go of himself. I think, you know, they always want to have their hand in something. And, you know, God made this salvation so that man can't get the glory. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2. And I thought about this in the sense of Independence Day. Ephesians chapter 2. This is the hard part for people. I mean, if you've seen some of the posts on David Z, how all these people want to act like they've got some finger in their salvation or some part in it, the hardest thing is to let go of yourself. And that's why people don't get saved. They want to say, I did this. I ask people all the time, I say, you know, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? And most of them go, I hope I go to heaven. And then the answers arrange kind of like this. I go to church often. I try to do good. I'm better than some. You know, it's all about the I. And salvation is just really the difference. Religion has to do with I. Truth has to do with Him. That's the difference. I mean, look at it. All right. Hey, thanks for joining us, Dave and Rhoda from PA this morning. They're up visiting their relatives, so we're glad you're tuning in and being part of the service with us. Verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Now listen to this verse. Now this is a verse we know well, but I want you to listen to the dependence, not the independence. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. You see that? That's the problem. We don't want to give up ourselves. We want ourselves. We want to be, as it were, able to brag about how good of a Christian we are, or how good we did this, or how good we did that. We want to brag about us. We don't want to give all the glory to God. If we did, say, hey, we sing it all the time. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. I walked the aisle and joined the church. You know, it didn't say that. He washed it white as snow. Well, look at it. It says that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And that's the humbling part of salvation. Is you finally have to say, you know what? I can't do this myself. I'm not capable of saving myself. I give up. That's the hardest part of being dependent. Well, guys, if you're going to be dependent upon anybody, be dependent upon the Lord. Amen? I mean, you know, I understand the need to feel independent, but really, in a sense, and I thought about how children are. I mean, we kind of teach them how to. I remember Jamie, my daughter, when she was little, about 6 years old, we taught all our kids to ride a bike at six. By four, they could make a bed, and by six, they got to have fun riding a bike. And I thought about how we ride a bike. I mean, Maggie, how old are you? All right, it hadn't been too long ago you learned to ride, right? About six or so? And this is how we all kind of learn. We all did the same thing. We got the bike. We got our kids on it. They got on there with their little helmets and their knee pads. Because we know what's going to happen, right? Well, not when you, brother. They quit using stone wheels. Believe it or not, they don't even use stone wheels anymore.
Okay.
They actually use spokes now. Yeah, you know, it's kind of a new concept. So, anyway, you get on that bike, and that little person just pedaling along, you know, and they know that you're there. Because they can feel that hand on that seat, and you might have your hand on the steering wheel or knock it into straight when they pull it out, you know, pull it back into straight, and you run along, and, you know. And you do that, you know, all day long, you know, and back then daddies are skinny, you know, that's why daddies are skinny when they're, for, you know, have 6 year olds, because they're running behind the bike all the time, right? And so they're running behind. But you know what you gotta do?
Let go.
You gotta let go, or they never become independent. So you know what's gonna happen when you let go, right? Here's the independent mode. Okay, they're pedaling along, and you let go, and they start doing this to see if you're back there. And you know what's going to happen when they look back, right?
Yeah.
They're going to turn their wheel, and they'll crash. You know how many people have done that? Wow. Everybody that's learned to ride a bike has done that. Y'all understand? So independent isn't always that good, because once you get independent, guess what? You know, all of a sudden, you realize you're all alone. Well, God doesn't want you to feel that way. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And look at verse 9, not of works, lest any man should what? Because it takes away from the glory of the Father and your dependency upon Him. That's fascinating, isn't it? So where we're as humans are constantly trying to become independent, God's trying to make us dependent. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, although I got to say, there's a few of them, a few hundred, I would say. Look in Isaiah 40. Dependence. It's all about, with God, about your dependence on Him. How about David when he committed adultery? And he said, that man should surely be put to death. And Nathan said, thou art the man. You know who he was dependent upon? He was dependent upon the Lord being gracious. Otherwise, he was a goner. Y'all understand? We want independence until we get so far out that we need dependence. Well, that's what our job as a preacher is, to show you that you're so far out that you need to be dependent upon something. In Isaiah 40, I love this passage in verse 28, talking about dependence. Verse 28, Isaiah 40, 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Isn't that a relief? Don't you just want to say, praise the Lord? I'm glad He's not on the job one time and becoming independent on another. You got it? I'm glad He's not wishy-washy. I'm glad He's not tossed to and fro. I'm glad that God's not just up there wondering what's going on. That the God of heaven and earth fainteth not, and neither is weary. There's no searching His understanding. And this is the great part. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So when you're down and you think, man, it's all over, it's black, it's dark. Man, listen, let me tell you what. Some of the greatest times with me and the Lord was in my darkest moments. It was never when I was on the rooftop or the valley and I'm like, look at me, I'm independent, I've made it, I've done it, I've accomplished. It's when I'm in the mire and in the bottom of the pits that I find the closest thing. You know where Daniel found the Lord? In the lion's den. Isn't that weird? Jacob, in the midst of his brothers trying to kill him. You know? Not Jacob, Joseph. Sorry about that. You all understand? On and on. It isn't when you're the highest that God used. Hey, it's when you're down the lowest that God... Because you know what? All of a sudden, you know, there's more prayers in foxholes than anywhere else. You know why? Because you're in need. You're tired of being independent. You need somebody beyond yourself.
That's right.
And I think about people who try to save themselves. Say, well, I'm going to live a life that's going to be pleasing to God. Well, don't you get it? Nobody's done it. You're going at a task that no one's ever accomplished. Say, well, I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to walk the aisle. I'm going to join the church. I'm going to live a selfless life. Well, if you live a selfless life, I thought about this term because I get this term written on Facebook quite a bit. Selfless life. Well, the selfless life has nothing to do with you. Selfless. Think about it. It has nothing to do with you. If you're selfless, then it's all dependent upon Him. Where's the glory? Well, look what He says. Verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Man, that's encouraging. You know, it doesn't matter how bad it gets. You say, well, all hell's breaking loose. Great! Praise the Lord! Say, when it's really bad. Yeah, that when it's really bad, glory in your infirmities. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I can tell you that in my darkest hours were my brightest moments. Say, well, how can that be? Hey, that's when the Lord will help you, is when you can't help yourself. See, God's not interested in you in the sense of just you. He wants you ultimately to give Him the glory. That's why He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. Why? The boast should be on who? On the Lord Jesus Christ. The boast should be on Him. The boast should be that which gives Him the glory, and on and on. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had an infirmity. It was kind of a fascinating infirmity. There's a messenger of Satan going around buffeting him. And you know what? The whole thing comes down to really, Paul would have probably done something if he could have. Yeah, he's human just like me and you are. You know what I mean? It would be obvious that if he could have done something, Paul would have probably done it. But this, for some reason, is beyond Paul's capacity to deal with. And that's where God really wants to take you. God loves broken vessels. He doesn't like vessels that can get all the glory. You know what? Preaching is kind of an odd thing. In one sense, we've all got this ego in preaching. And every preacher has it. And on the other hand, though, we're in a mess. Well, Paul was like that. Paul was like that. Hey, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, watch this. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, that was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. People always say, well, what's the thorn in the flesh? I'm fascinated that it says it right here in the passage in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, comma, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. What was his thorn in the flesh? People say, well, his eyesight was his thorn in the flesh. Didn't sound like it. You know what a comma clause is? It's kind of a unique English language thing. It goes, the dog who is black, smelly. Why? Oh, that's fine. And yard dog. Eats meat raw. The dog, who is black, smelly, yard dog, eats meat raw. Well, if you take that English language and you just say, the dog, you can put, the dog eats meat raw. And it still makes sense. But all of this is descriptive of the noun. You got it? That's how the English language works. Now watch this. 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure, there was through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Now, why do you think he sought him thrice?
Obviously, nothing happened.
It was killing him. He was being whooped out by it. You ever gone to the Lord and prayed about something over and over and over and over again? Because you want to get it off your chest. You want to get it off. Let the Lord know about it. And so, man, you have those little private conversations. You're walking in the woods, you know. And you're talking to the Lord. Hey, you're trying to get it off your chest. You ever been like that? Man, I'm burdened about this thing. I'm bugged up about this thing. Man, I've been like that before. What am I going to do? My stomach is in knots, you know, over this thing, Lord. And so Paul does what you would have done, and he's out there seeking the Lord. Verse 8, this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And look what the Lord said unto him. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what he's saying? Relax, I got it. Relax. Depend upon me. Lay back. I've got this one. Just relax. Take a deep breath. Just relax. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then he goes on to say, for my strength, or you could say glory. For my glory is made perfect in what? It's when you're not dependent upon yourself. That's what gives me the glory. When you finally start quitting being independent and being dependent, that gives me the glory. When you quit being an individual and you start being a member of the body of Christ, that's when God gets the glory. See, it isn't about your selfish ways. Give yourself up. Yourself can't do it. Paul couldn't do it. Better to be dependent. See, we're talking about Independence Day because we're independent of England. Well, that's not really true, is it?
No.
And the world's getting to be a smaller place every moment we live. It's amazing.
That's right.
You know? And Paul then glories. He says, this is Paul. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and in reproaches and necessities, in persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You see, your strength doesn't come from you. If you're dependent upon you, you're going to run out of strength. You're going to faint. You're going to fall down. You're going to utterly... If you're dependent upon you, if that's all you're dependent upon, if that's all you're thinking about, let me tell you what, there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to find yourself fallen. You know why? We've all been there. And it's that dependence upon the Lord that brings us strength. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to wait upon the Lord. What happens if He doesn't show up? What are you going to do anyway?
Wait.
You know, I mean, you're not... Listen, let me tell you what, there isn't anything you can do. In fact, look what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. I love this. See, I believe in the dependency of the Lord. I believe people today are too dependent upon themselves. I tell you how it is. They think they can depend upon making a living.
Right. Yep.
Hey, you don't know when you're going to get fired tomorrow. I heard one of the auto part place got robbed. You don't know when someone's going to come in and shoot you.
That's right.
You don't know that. You can't tell me that you know that you're going to go out there and a drunk from the 4th of July is going to cream into your car and kill one of your kids or something. You know what? And when those moments... Brother Dan, how are you, man?
Okay, I guess.
We missed you. Are you okay?
Yeah, so far.
Good. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. You all understand what I'm trying to say here? And listen, God doesn't use you when you're, you know, up on the mountaintop. He uses you when you're in the valley. And it's those moments that you really know what you're made of. It isn't when you're on the top. And most of when we get on the top, He was right there all along anyway. Yet we want to take the glory from Him. Look at me. Look what I've done. Oh, wow. Oh, I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Really? Ephesians chapter 6. He said in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. He didn't say go chase hell with a water bucket. He didn't say go attack the world. Hey, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Boy, that sounds good. You know what I mean? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, do what? Stand. Hey, He didn't say go rush it and do that. You know what you're supposed to do? Just stand. And then what are you supposed to be standing in? Well, look in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of not your might, His might. Not the power of what you are or what you can accomplish or what you think you're so great at, but in the power of His might. Boy, that's it, isn't it? To be standing there in the power of His strength. Why, folks, He's called the fortress. If you're going to stand, don't you want to be... Hey, I don't want to be standing on the rock. I want to stand behind the rock. Amen? Amen. I mean, I don't want the glory and stuff for me. Hey, listen, praise God when we win the battles. You know what? I watched a few battles I thought we lost. You know why? Because we were trying to battle them ourselves. Trying to make us the issue. You know what? I thought about... I think about a lot. It's strange having health problems and you look at your life and you realize, man, tomorrow may not be here. Sure. I mean, lately, even this week has been a very shaky week for me. And I got home and I just got where I couldn't even move. And you think about the stuff you did. Most of the problems I ever had, the reason I had those problems was because I was there. Instead of letting the Lord work something out. And there's two people in Proverbs. That's what the book of Proverbs is about. It's about two people. One's a wise son, and one's a foolish son. And it's fascinating to me the difference between the two. And I'm not here or prepared to even teach you on Proverbs right at the moment. I can throw you a few verses, but a wise son hearkeneth to the instruction of his father. And he would take a rebuke and grow wiser. But a fool won't listen, won't take that instruction. And then when you rebuke a fool, you know what he says? He'll only become more foolish. Now think about that for just a minute. Absolutely. You know, you try to tell them, hey, look in the Bible, look in the Word of God, and they make mockery of you or saying, you know what, they're being foolish, and ultimately they're going to be foolish in their own self, and to the point where they end up totally lost. That's right. All about the I. I'm self. Really, you are? Why don't you give me your... You know the Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And when I got my Jaguar, I didn't go and buy Larry one when I lived next door. Now, that would have been the neighborly thing. Amen? Brother, I was going to buy me one, but I would feel bad if you didn't have one. But I noticed he treated me the exact same way with his Harley. When he got his Harley, he didn't come over and say, hey, I just bought a Harley for me and you. We can share it. He didn't even say that. I expected my own Harley, but not even like, hey, you can ride it anytime you want kind of deal. You know? Right, brother? You've never let me ride your bike. All right, well, you can drive that car. Can I drive your bike? If we can push that Jaguar right down that hill, it'll probably roll really good. Whee! The whole idea of Ephesians chapter 6 is in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, it's almost as if the Lord is doing the fighting and He just wants us to watch it. He did that with Israel some. Did you ever notice that? Yeah, like all over. No, that's true. He did. He did it with Israel all the time. I mean, how about Gideon when he was trying to build up an army? And he whittled that army down to nothing. I mean, you know why? Because it would have taken his glory away. And that's exactly the way we are today. And we're always trying to manipulate and change and do. And you know what? Why don't you wait upon the Lord? Just relax. Nothing you're going to do is going to turn out great. Say, well, I'm praying for a new car. So you're praying for a new car. And you get a new car and it's a neon. It's new. Brand spanking new neon. I got to have two of those. And if you'd have waited upon the Lord, maybe He'd have brought you a Cadillac. But you could figure it out. You know, I find faith is an amazing thing. This is how, and I don't mean this derogatory, but this is how we live our lives. That's our pie. And this much goes to the mortgage. And this much goes here. And this much goes here. And you got cable. And you got the two car bills. And you got the Harley Davidson. And the insurance for them all. Oh, this little part right here, we might be able to give to the Lord if we, you know, do something over there. Yeah. And that's how most people give. I feel like I could give that. Did you see? Did you hear the eye?
Right.
I feel like I can give that. That's comfortable for me. And how about before you even write a bill? I mean, honestly, if you did this for a month, would you be willing to do this? That's probably none of us in here would be willing. Whatever you get in a check, just 10%. Don't even think if you're paying the bills or not. And just write it out. Ooh. Got quiet. What would happen, do you think, if you did that? You didn't look at the bills. You didn't go, man, I got these bills or this bill. Just every check you came into your house, whether it was a birthday check, whether it was a paycheck, whether it was a disability check, whether it was, what other kind of checks are there? Annuity checks?
Welfare
checks? What else would there be?
Lottery
check?
Refund
checks? And you just, right? I mean, just 10%. That's it's first thing I do.
House sale check.
Yeah, you sell the house. 10%. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm being honest as I can be about faith and dependence upon the Lord. Sterling, what do you think would happen?
Lord would bless you.
Lord would take care of you.
Mary?
The son.
You guys, I know you don't believe this because I can see it in your actions.
You'd be tried. You'd definitely be tried.
All right, you'd be tried. Dennis? What do you think would happen?
If you 10%.
You didn't think of your bills, you just gave it because it's the Lord's.
There's no question about that.
I don't know. God would provide for you. All right. What is your
name?
Christy. Wait. But you know, we say that, yet we don't do it.
You are blessed, but you are trying.
There is a trying because God's going to see whether you're giving of your own strength or you're giving because He's the Lord. But I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. And this is always fascinating to me because it really is talking about dependence upon the Lord. I am going to depend upon the Lord. I'm going to depend upon His Word. If His Word said it, I'm going to believe it. That's it. It's done. It's settled. You got it? That's faith. Faith is dependent upon the Lord. That's what pleases God. Hold on before we go here. Take Hebrews chapter 11. And I know very little about all this. I want you to read with me in verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, you're never going to please Him. You know what faith is? Dependence. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently what?
Seek Him.
Go to 2 Corinthians 9. I've always watched people struggle with money. And, I mean, it's a fascinating thing to me. I've taught on it in this church, and I teach it because I think it's part of the whole counsel of God. And I do a financial thing and try to teach people how to be debt-free. How many in here are totally debt-free? Raise your hand. Well, you ought to be asking me how. Right? I mean, that would be the... Amen?
Amen.
How do I get that way? That would be a good way to be. Amen? I mean, if two nerds like Larry and Barry can do it, anybody can... Amen, brother? I mean, I won't want to say that Larry's nerdier than I, but he's pretty nerdy, and I'm pretty nerdy too. And if these two nerdy-erdies can do it, anybody can do it. Amen? Now watch this. I didn't write this, but I'm talking about dependence. I'm dependent upon what He said. That's what faith. Faith is, what is faith? Faith is hearing the Word of God, right? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is hearing the Word of God and dependent upon it. And it's fascinating stuff. He says, but I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also what? So people who give, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? If they don't give, what's going to happen? Is that what you want? That's always fascinating to me. That's fascinating, isn't it? And he which soweth bountifully shall what? That's a good deal, isn't it? And every man according as he hath purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. You can't give to get. Why do you give? Okay, that was a question. When I kind of go up on the end, that's kind of like, okay, that's a question. Why do you give? It's to give him the glory. It's acknowledging where he is. Well, that's kind of how we do it in our everyday life. And look what he says. So let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a what? When you know how much you know to give? When you start laughing. I always tickled when people go over to the plate and they go, I know they gave the right amount. The people that give it like this, they haven't given the right amount. Why? God loveth a what? God, listen, God's interested in your dependence upon Him. If you give the money, will He reimburse you for it? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Are you dependent upon Him? He said He would. People say, oh, I believe He would. Well, then try Him. Listen, let me tell you, one time I was out with Jerry Lockhart out in Houston, Texas, and Kmart used to pay monthly cash. We'd get cash money in our paycheck, and it was for the whole month. And I wasn't making a whole lot, maybe $4,000 a month, you know, something like that. And so I put 10%, which was $400, in this pocket, and the $3,600 in this pocket. Guess which one I accidentally gave Jerry Lockhart? Jerry must have flipped out, brother. I mean, I flipped out when I got home. I mean, I got to tell you, I did flip out a little bit. But you know what I realized then? That we were really dependent upon the Lord. And it was amazing. Now, I'm not kidding you. I'm like going, well, maybe He needed it, you know. And Brenda's trying to calm me down. And, of course, about this time, my jugular veins are sticking out. And I realize I've just given away our entire fortune for that month, which we were living basically paycheck to paycheck at that time. And
Brenda didn't want to keep it.
No, she was actually the spiritual one trying to say, it's okay, the Lord will take care of us. And I'm not talking, 2 days later, we had a guy who came to our Bible study, Mike, who brought groceries. I don't even know why he brought, why did he bring us the groceries?
He said he felt led to bring them.
He just brought groceries. And I'm like,
he filled up our refrigerator. He didn't even know we didn't have any food.
It was weird. I'm like, why should we ever doubt the Lord? You know what I mean? I realized He was going to pay all the bills, and we got through it all. And I look back and I think, you know, a lot of people think by hanging on to their money or hanging on to their substance that they're going to get. Look what Proverbs says. Go to Proverbs. Give me just a second. Proverbs, 11. And we're going to end here, and then we'll pick back up. We'll take a 15-minute break. Hey, David Z, let me know how things were happening in PA for you. We've been praying for you. We'll continue to do that. Verse 24. Proverbs 11:24. Now watch this. There is that scattereth, yet increaseth. And there is that which withholdeth more than is meat, but tendeth to poverty. If you think you're clinging on to it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to lose it. That's what it is. You know, what we've lost in America, and I don't want to turn this political, what we've lost in America is entrepreneurialism. People going out, you know, and Alan, we will pray for you. Alan just got a fire call, so he's out and running on the fire truck. I don't ever get to ride on a fire truck. But if you hang on all that you have and you think, man, I've got it. What does the Bible say is going to happen? You're going to tendeth to property. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he's not talking about social liberals. He's talking financial liberals. You know what? You got to help out your brethren. Why to make all the money? I can tell you, and I suggested this to Larry and anybody else, I would make this suggestion. Who are you going to leave it all to? Well, you know what? I'm leaving mine to the church. I'm not going to leave it to my kids. I'll leave a little bit to my kids, but I'm not leaving it all.
Right.
You know, they'll blow it. I'm going to do it so that I can forever support grace preachers that will preach the truth of right division from here on out. I'm making it in my will that about 75% of everything I've got will come to a foundation supporting preachers. You know, what are you going to do with it? You can leave it to your kids who hate your guts?
That's right.
And leave it to your kids who are going to blow it on partying and having fun? Or are you going to leave it where it will do the most good to cause people? I mean, think about it, really, honestly. It's not even a quick thought in my mind, and I don't know what Larry's done about it, but you know, I've thought about helping getting a lawyer in and helping people who want to do that. You know, because I think it's important. We've got to set up a foundation that can flat out for all eternity until the rapture comes, which, hey, maybe sooner than later, we're hoping. You know what I mean? All right, y'all take about a 10-minute break. I'm sorry I ran a little long.